Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Force Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. This is one of our other center episodes, taking questions that we have collected during the SAG after strike about life and other pop culture other than Star Wars, just everything. Happy to be here. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok, and you know Star Wars will find its way in here.
Absolutely.
Always. And I'm Jennifer Landa.
We did it. We all said our names. We're all getting used to the video, too. We're like,
I am a robot. Who am I?
I messed with the rhythm because I had too much to say on my follow-up. I just got to say my name and shut up. Shut up, Ken.
Yeah.
Shut up, Ken.
Yeah. We all just say your name and shut up. Welcome to our show. Say your name and shut up. It's very short. A very short show. Anyway, we want to let you know that, as always, today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending The Path of Deceit. Hey, there's some Star Wars. It's the first book in the High Republic Phase two. If, like us, you fell behind and you want to catch up, I finally got a chance to read Path of Deceit by Justina Ireland and Tessa Grattan, and I really, really enjoyed it. So if you want to see if you enjoy it, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4center. One more time, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. But that is not all for our A's. We also have our current ask. Ken?
Ask, as Bosque would say, is asking you to consider subscribing here on YouTube. We have a number in mind, 7,500, but I will point out, hey, you know, we just released our first video, full public video discussing Ahsoka. Maybe we shot up in subs. I'm going to be hopeful of that what I'm saying is wrong information. But if not, we're pushing slowly as we build this channel out on the YouTube side in a way we haven't before. So subscribe to help make that happen. Hit that notification bell. Tell your friends. 7,500 is a good goal for us, and that's what we have right now. That's our ask.
That is a great ask, and things are turning around on old YouTube. Instead of a negative certain amount, it was actual, when I looked this morning, positive.
Yeah.
The right direction. The light side builds YouTube subscribers. Anyway, we're experimenting as we are balancing our Star Wars coverage and our other center coverage that we want to keep going. We want to keep talking about our life and other parts of pop culture. So we have moved the segment that we used to start our main show, our Tuesday show with, of life or other Star Wars pop culture adventures here. So we're going to discuss what we have been up to, what we've been going through. Ken, you've been going through a lot this week. Do you want to start or finish? Do you want to be the big intro or the big finale?
Look, mine's kind of depressing, so maybe y'all can raise the hope levels around here. We are recording a little ahead of time, as we often do. Mondays are big record day. So I am going to assume by the time this airs, I'm feeling 100% better. I had made the decision to go home to my parents' house, my hometown area of Rio Grande, Pismo Beach, pre-Thanksgiving. I went up for one day. My sister and my nephew, who's now 20, and my niece, who's now 11, were up there. And I hadn't seen them in about 8 years physically. They live in Mexico now and down in Baja area. Just life. A lot of ways. Good and bad. Family. Family's weird, right? So I made the decision to go up there. And it was great. And I won't, nothing would change that experience. It was a very fun day. But I did catch COVID from it. I have avoided it for 4 years to the point of, I believed I was the chosen one who would not be infected by this disease. I was the one. Not that I wasn't careful or cautious in the past and always aware that this is something in the back of my head, but I did catch it, full disclosure. Luckily, mild for me, and that was not always the case for people I know, and I know people who lost people. So not to laugh off this disease, it's not, or this virus, it's not something that's in the rearview mirror. But so out of light came darkness, but and I even lost a job because of that darkness. So I'm now trying to find the light again, and coming back to Force Center Talk Star Wars was part of that light. So that was my up and down this week. You got to provide me more hope, but I'm trying to find the hope.
Yeah, it's weird when things that should feel sort of metaphorical or symbolic become real, like family. It's good, but it's difficult. They gave me COVID. It's hard.
And, you know, you can't pin it on one, you know, right. You're not going to play that
of course
game. But, you know.
Of course, not to blame.
More to the story that I can't go into, but yes.
Yeah, totally, totally understandable. Jennifer, how was your week? Do you have any life, Star Wars, pop culture adventures?
I went and saw two movies, which was really unusual. We went and saw Trolls, the band back together or something like that. It was great. I loved it. It was about basically like boy bands and also siblings. We've been listening to the soundtrack every single day for hours on end, but I enjoy it. If you're an NSYNC fan, Backstreet Boys, New Edition, all those great bands from the past, you will love that movie. We also went and saw Wish, the new Disney movie. And, you know, it's one of those things where there's a lot of expectations when you go see a Disney movie. And at first I was kind of like, what is this movie about? And then I just was like, you know, I'm just going to enjoy it. And it's great. Let's see, Chris Pine plays the bad guy. He is great. There's all the actors are fantastic. And my kids loved it. Although my mom, we went with my mom And she was talking through the whole movie, like sharing the, oh, that's an Easter. Well, she didn't say Easter egg. She's like, you know that that's from Sleeping Beauty. You know that that's a reference to Cinderella. I'm like, Mom, stop being the Disney fan. Let me have this experience.
She wasn't walking up to the screen and circling things and putting arrows and.
She went on and on, my poor husband, because my husband's not like a major Disney fan. And he was just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And she's like, and then did you notice Peter Pan? And he's like, okay, okay, Bernie. Ah, surrounded by these fandoms for my poor husband. But yeah, it was awesome. It was great. There's nothing like going to the movies, even though it costs like $100.
Yeah, no, I think all the good and sometimes tortured analysis of box office pundits of like, have you seen how much tickets cost and then eating and parking and stuff? Like,
I can go down that route because there's still those things of I saw someone who was like, well, 2019 was one of Disney's best year. 2023 has been one of the worst. I'm like, you're that huge chunk of time had something happen.
Yeah. What happened in those times? What are the varying impacts of it? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, lasting gosh, yeah. impact and change the way in which we do things and how much we can afford. Yeah, I get you. Jen, when you said you went to the movies, I initially thought it was like, did you and your husband give away the kids for the weekend? You get to go. Oh, no, you saw kids movies. Got it.
No, yeah. I took the kids. Oh, my husband came the second time. But yeah, yeah. It was Thanksgiving break. I'm like, what can we do? Let's go watch a movie for a few hours. Take up some of that time. So, nice. But it was great.
Nice. Does your mom always talk during movies or was this she wished upon a star for a movie she could talk at and she got her wish?
She always, and I specifically said, please do not. I mean, thank God it wasn't an Arclight, RIP. But you know, like when you go to the Arclight back in the day, like it's like freaking church. You dare not speak. Aww. My mom just, she won't stop talking. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
But at least she was sharing like insightful things. You know, I could hear her. I'm like, oh yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, that's good. A reference to the fairy godmother.
Okay. Real life Easter egg YouTube video in real time.
Yeah. Only she'd been filming.
Live streaming. Right. Exactly. Oh, guy.
Yeah. I went to the New Beverly for the first time in several years as only cinema or only actual film owned by Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
It's always fun. But yeah, they gave a very funny intro that was both real and comedic of like, we will ban you for life if you speak.
Wow. There. Take her there.
Well, they were exaggerating a little bit, but it was also like, hey, that observation about the movie, wouldn't it be a lot more interesting to share after the movie when you could have a conversation about it? Why do you need to say it in the middle of the movie? And I felt so seen. Like that.
Yeah.
So my specific adventure this week was an adventure years in the making, which was that I needed to decrease the amount of action figures physically in our home. Mm. I'm not even selling them. They're just going to a storage, a storage space, like not very far from our home at all, but it was still extremely, extremely difficult. It was a great reminder of how much that I do connect to the galaxy far, far away through the toys, but also the individual memories of where I was or, you know, who I was with, why I bought this figure at which convention. And I worked my way down this huge pile on our dining room table. And in the base of it still was this pyramid that had started with The Force Awakens. Wow. So it was like actually going through the layers of history with the most recent editions of the saga. And it was a little bit too much of a real physical thing that needed to happen that was actually a metaphor for reality of like, I don't have enough time and space to love everything as much as I want to love it. And I have to pick and choose. And yeah, it was a hard adventure all by itself because I love the action figures. And then it was, it was almost insulting how much it felt like a badly scripted metaphor for my life having to choose what gets to stay. Like, come on, life. Can I just relax? But
look, you're supposed to provide some hope, but I'm choosing to provide hope, you know, find the hope in what you're saying, Joseph. It's those memories and those connections will never go away, but it's hard. I'm think I'm reaching a point where I think I have to start maybe have a digital garage sale with some of my Star Wars things for very And it's hard. It's hard. And it's okay for it to be hard.
Yeah. It's hard. But the thing is not the memory. And I try to remind myself of that. And, you know, I've made the joke and it is very true of like, I really love the story of these wise Jedi who realized what is valuable is our connection to one another and not physical goods. And that's why I must own thousands of them physically. There's an irony in it that I need to be aware of. And like I said, I'm not even selling them. They're just going about four blocks away. And I still have, you know, many, many in my home. Anyway, I know other people go through that journey of having to let go and make some choices. So I thought I would share mine. But with that, we're going to get into the actual cues in our cues of the other episode. We got two great questions. We got one that I think is fun, but also could be a little heavy. And then after the break, we'll have one that looks on the surface like it should be fun, but might really get heavy. And that will be more clear later on. But first now, we have a question from a listener, patron 8984M, who says, "Hello, the wacky but also philosophical cousin of Force Center. As a child of immigrants, my cultural identity has always been a major part of my life. So I was wondering, what are your cultural backgrounds and how have they affected your life? And on a sillier note, what is one small habit from that culture that has stuck with you? For me, being in an immigrant household, we saved literally everything, including grocery and takeout bags. I still keep a big stash of grocery bags that I reuse." This is a great question. Jennifer, would you like to start about your your cultural background affects your life and any sort of habit that you still have?
I still keep the grocery and takeout bags. Yeah. I have a gigantic stash. Yeah, it's interesting because it's like a fish in water. Like, it doesn't know that it's in the water. So like throughout my life, I had all these cultural things or things that my mom would do. And I didn't know that that was, I guess, unusual or an oddity until like a white person would point it out to me. And like, oh, like being so enmeshed as a family was just like, you know, that was very normal to me. My husband's like, do you have to talk to your mom every day, like five times a day? Do you have to you guys have to be in each other's business as much? And I'm like, wait, when do you talk to your parents? He's like, I don't know, like every like couple times a month. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, just stuff like that, or even the way that I speak. Like, my mom was born, she was born here, but she definitely has like kind of this Chicana type of accent. And so I would, in acting class, I would, you know, you're trying to just be this character. And I guess I would say things with an accent. And my acting teacher's like, what is that? What is that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, that accent. And I'm like, I don't have an accent. He's like, yes, there it is. He's like, yes, the way you say no. No. And he just made me feel like so aware of it. And I was very ashamed of it for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, have that. I don't care. Mm-hmm. This is just the way that I'm going to say it. Or like my mom like will accent certain letters. Like instead of the TV, she'll say the TV. And I was like, what? Just little things like that. And it's never until somebody else points it out to you that suddenly you're just aware of it. And you can either like embrace that, that's just who I am. Or you could, as a child especially, you might feel a little bit more self-conscious and try even more to fit in. It just depends, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there any, so I'm hearing lots of traits. Is there anything that you like actively say, like, I want to do this because it is a part of my culture and I want to continue my culture, as opposed to sort of, you know, things that slip through?
I would love to, but my mom was very much like wanting to assimilate and to be this American dream. And so as I've talked about, like, she would make meatloaf and like beef stroganoff for our meals. She never taught me like how to cook Mexican food. So things like that, like I'm having to reclaim that and I'm having to teach my kids. But she very much is in like the supernatural, which is kind of funny. And I guess I kind of have tapped into that. And I don't want to lose that. Like, we had a picture that fell yesterday and a can that, I swear to you, it flew across from the recycling bin. And my husband's like, it just fell. I'm like, no, there is something going on in this house. What have we invited?
I'll send Grace over there. She'll cleanse your house. All right.
Sage or something.
Yeah, we have this argument all the time in our house.
Really?
We have a fan and it slowly starts moving sometimes. And she's like, see, I'm like, honey, I have the heater on. It's clearly moved. She's like, you're no fun. It's a ghost.
It's kind of
who
fun.
Turned the heater on?
Yeah. Do I really believe it? No, but I kind of like believing it. That's very much my mom. That I'm going to continue that tradition, but I don't want to scare my children.
Excellent. Ken, I know from previous conversations, you have talked about your connection to your culture. Did you feel that strongly growing up? How do you feel it shaped you?
I think I wanted to feel it more strong, that's part of what you're going through, or at least explaining, Jen, different, you know, levels of it. I know. But my dad, you know, came over with the grandma, grandpa in 51, from Russia. My grandma, Ukrainian, my grandfather was Circassian, AKA Russian in the '80s. Cause that was the easiest way to explain it, but it was not allowed for me to experience. I experienced my grandparents, but, my dad and, you know, had literally it beaten out of him in the '50s. We have part going on, communism, the Red Scare, all that stuff, and being a little Russian boy in Fort Dodge, Iowa, where they settled eventually, wasn't a good thing. And so I think I've said before, but my name was supposed to be Sasha. That's what my mom had planned up until the very end, and he not doing that. My sister was supposed to be Katya. She ended up being Katie, and now actually changed her name to Katya. Her kind of, you know, that, hold on, that would have been cool. but I get where it came from, right or wrong, you know, where they ended up. And you know, so there was this, no, we're Americans vibe versus no, I'm not, you know, not Russian. And I understand. I mean, you got Rocky punching Ivan Drago, who, you know, you want to be on Rocky's side growing up. And so that was that, but it was there and I was always proud of it. I always wanted to, you know a little bit more. And maybe I still can in terms of, you know, I love to speak Ukrainian or love, you know, understand a little bit more. And, I carried some of the stuff forward with them and it's just, you know, I always joke, but you know, cleaning your plate was all I heard at my grandparents' was Kenny, eat, Kenny, eat, because they didn't have food, right? The post-war. Mm-hmm. They were leaving and even my grandmother's sister lived in Chernobyl and my grandmother would send her cans of food and clothes because it wasn't there. And so that translated to them in Anaheim when I would visit for Disneyland. It was like, you're going to eat everything and you think you're full. We're going to put more on your plate. and so that, you know, that carried over a little bit with me.
Yeah. Well, Sasha Knapsack would have been a great wrestler name.
would have been something.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to come back, Ken, to ask you more about how you feel like your culture or even lack of it is expressing yourself. Cause, I think it's really interesting that we're all of the general same age and are all kind of experiencing the same thing where we almost wanted more of our culture. Mm-hmm. Cause that's something I've really been wrestling with. So, my ancestry is Scandinavian, Norwegian, and Swedish, and that's the little bit of culture I did get growing up. On my dad's side, English from Nottingham. Just about every scrimshaw I've ever come across is directly from Nottingham. You can find on the books when your ancestors left from specifically Nottingham. And then on my dad's side, there's some native blood, most likely Métis. I always want to, I feel bad. I feel like I was ignorant about the best way to talk about that. Because my dad told me that when I was young of we have some Native American blood, as he said. And so I was always interested in that. I have understood much better now about a very important distinction between blood history and actually, you know, being raised in a culture and being a part of a tribe. So I always want to talk about that really respectfully of I don't have that as my cultural background, but it was told to me when I was young and I was always fascinated with wanting to understand where I came from all of these different places. But for that history, that is deeply buried for exactly the same reasons, Ken, not with the Russian, but with the, you know, the racism and the deep need to assimilate and the let's bury our culture instead of pass it on, you know, up through the generations. My grandparents, I didn't get to know my father's parents very long at all in the big picture. My mom's parents, I spent more time with. They definitely had some challenges and some scars from growing up in the Depression and going, my father or grandfather serving in World War II, all that stuff. But when I was really trying to think back of like, okay, but I did grow up around Scandinavian stuff. What are the Scandinavian traditions? And the only thing I could think of is food. It was only the holidays. It was here, try this weird fish, and we got some real specific cookies. And I pushed my mom on it recently. I was like, what are the other things from Scandinavian culture that you absorbed? Are there things that aren't food? And she was like, yes. And then she just kept listing different foods. It's like, mom, they're all foods. Is there anything that isn't food? So I think we grew up in era where it feels like a lot of people were just trying to be American, or people from a European heritage were losing that distinction in just trying to be white. And to me, like, white is meaningless. It's not a cultural heritage. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really, I really think about my cultural heritage is probably more physically where I grew up, of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And that's a mix of Scandinavian people, German people, a lot of immigrants who are willing to endure harsh conditions for decent jobs and wanted to have took great pride in doing well, but also had a little bit of this sort of shame boundary of, I want to do a really good job. I don't want to have to tell anybody I'm doing a really good job. I just want them to quietly see it and acknowledge it. And like, that kind of stuff is far more my culture than anything from my, you know, Scandinavian specifically roots. So Ken, how do you feel about this growing up in maybe in a time or just maybe our life experiences where we were encouraged more to be, hey, you're American, and less specifically tied to your cultural roots? How do you feel about that?
You know, I'm having, dare I say, fun untangling a lot of that, and untangling the history of that, and untangling where we got to where we are or where we were. I always go to the 80s because that was the most powerful decade in my existence in a lot of ways, because it imprinted a lot on me that I have to either untangle or decide to stay with. And the 90s is where I came of age. But you know, I grew up pro wrestling guy, as everyone knows, but I grew up in the 80s listening to Hulk Hogan's theme song. I am a real American, fight for the rights of every man. And that means fighting this villain from Iran, this villain from Russian, this villain from Scotland, this villain from Japan. And that was the easy sell. Wrestling is a bottom based direct form of storytelling. And that's how they sold it. And that's why it was so popular in the 80s. That affected me, whether I think it or not. And I think it's about trying to untangle some of that, you know, and not being afraid and being, you know, trying to discover, you know, who I am that and through all that, you know, it's you can only do so much with how you were raised.
A thing that I think about as well is, okay, so, you know, I've taught when I worked at museums, I've taught like cooking as culture in classes like that. And a lot of the sociology classes I took would break down. Well, what do we mean when we say culture? Like, well, it's activities, it's food, it's specific celebrations. It is perspectives on the way we think about life and process it. And I've had different epiphanies. It's like, oh, my culture is theater and science fiction conventions. Because like when I thought about some of the things that I wish had kind of been handed to me as here's your Scandinavian, here's your English culture, here's your native culture, if I was actually a member, all those kind of things, like where did I get those? I got those from theater and the nerd community. Jennifer, do you ever feel like you got some of the culture that maybe more traditionally came from your culture of origin, from just the culture of what you chose to do?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The theater community for sure. Growing up in the 80s, the 90s. I mean, that's why I really was enjoying talking about retro things. It's kind of like a shared history. Mm. These, you know, phenomenons of like the Cabbage Patch Kids, or why was the Wuzzles popular, or, you know, the Jetsons, like those kinds of like pop culture has replaced that culture that I didn't really have. Like, it's so American, like Americana. Mm-hmm. And only now do I think people understand the value in retaining your cultures and your traditions from your countries of origin, your family. Because when we were kids, it really was like you were seen as being anti-American. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you could not retain onto that. If you wanted to be American. And so I sometimes have gotten in my life people who were like, well, why don't you speak Spanish fluently? Why don't you have all these like cultural things as a Mexican American woman? And it's like, I can't help that there was so much racism and prejudice. My yeah. parents did what they thought was best. It was like for survival. And was it the best decision? No, not in hindsight now, but that was of the time. And so it's interesting when you get pushback from both communities, like I often do, you know? So anyways, it's important for me to reclaim that and find my way back. And it's okay that my Spanish stinks. It's just who I am, but I'm this hodgepodge of theater and Furbies and Mexican Americanness. Oh,
that's absolutely beautiful. And I do think it is, I think pop culture is a part of our culture is really powerful, because especially like when all the several years where the Star Wars movies were coming out in December, that really made it like this cultural event that people in this culture were celebrating together and having certain traditions and being able to compare and contrast those traditions. It is such a cultural thing. Ken, do you feel like a part of who you are became what you do as opposed to your sort of history?
Yeah. I think so. And sometimes for better and sometimes for worse. I think that's why I always say pop culture is our culture in a lot of ways. This is the stories that raised us. And that's why I enjoy engaging on them on such a deep level that we do now. As opposed to, I know your experience, you know, Joseph, your love of themes is something, and I remember you talking about, was something that early on was something, oh, I love this because I love engaging with art this way. Mine was, it's a pew and a pew, and I love that pew, but it doesn't, mm-hmm. those lessons weren't there for me, and I wasn't absorbing it. It was there. So I think you're right. And then you can get locked in other little subcultures sometimes that are, you know, that job I always talk about for 17 years, being in public safety, put me in a certain kind of culture and around a certain mm-hmm. kind of folk that aren't bad folks at their heart. I want to be clear. So my closest connections were from it and are from it. But man, it imprinted on me at times in a negative way.
Yeah.
And I've passed some of that. So it can. But yeah, I agree with you there.
So to answer 8984M's question, do you have a habit from your culture that has stuck with you, whether that's your ancestry or your lived experience culture? Do you have a habit that stuck with you?
Other than overeating.
Well, I forgot that was your answer.
I'm trying to think beyond it, but I don't want to say drummed out, but it wasn't super intentional, right? For my perspective as a white kid in the suburbs, it just wasn't addressed. It's going to be different for Jen, obviously. But it wasn't like I sat there and said, "Mommy, Daddy, please tell me, can I ask about Kiev and Ukraine?" And no, you can't. We went to my grandparents and it was very clear. They were, quote, mm-hmm. Russian. I experienced it. They spoke in their language. They argued in that language loudly, often, and in restaurants. I got to see some of the old school ways that my grandfather had that were wrong. You know, he never let my grandmother drive a car, never let her learn, kept her trapped in the house. And in fact, went and had another marriage and another life that we didn't discover till later on. And that was a negative byproduct of just who he was and some of the ways he was raised. So I didn't I didn't try to engage with it because I didn't know it was there to engage with till later on, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So this is a darker answer, but a deeper answer to maybe a silly question is 8984M says, but like, yeah, other than eat Kenny, eat, and punch an Ivan Drago, I didn't care anything for it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't learn how to make any of the Scandinavian cookies, which is about the only like actual true heritage. So all of it is just sort of vibes. Mm-hmm. And the story I'll share is moving to Los Angeles and just getting to have an outside perspective, not only just being around people from all sorts of different cultures. Los Angeles has its own culture all by itself. But because Los Angeles, and I think in particular the entertainment industry, is a place where lots of different people come together. So instead of talking about the weather in Los Angeles, our boring get to know you question is, where do you come from? You get to hear people's opinion about where you come from.
Yeah.
So when I was first here and talking to a lot of people and telling people I was from Minnesota, like, oh, good. And like, oh, all right. Why? And like, all you Minnesotans have a work ethic. You work like dogs. So it was great to hear from the outside. And then I thought about it and it's like, I think that is really true from all the people who come to Minnesota and prided themselves on enduring hard labor conditions and working hard, that would make sense. And then also the theater, Jen, as you know, is so the show must go on and you show up. And I remember trying to do stand-up shows early on like they were theater. And I put on a variety show and lots of people always backed out. And at first it's like, what? You agreed to do a show and you didn't break a leg. There's no family member in danger. And early on, someone texted me like a half an hour before the show. Oh. I'm like, oh, can't make it. And I'm like, oh, I totally understand. I'm so sorry. Which is another part of my, I don't know. Why am I apologizing? He's like, why? What happened? I hope you're okay. And there's just like, ah, I ended up in the valley today, so I can't make it.
Oh my God.
And like, my head exploded. And for people who don't know, it's like, if there's really bad traffic, maybe the valley could be an hour drive. Mm-hmm. But it's not like my car got stuck in a snowstorm. It was just like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't make your show. I knowingly went to a different part of town. And of course, everybody understands that's a valid excuse to not do a show. And like, every instinct that came up in me is like, oh, there's my culture. Work ethic. You said you do this show. Be there.
It's fabulous. I remember some of the early days of going to your shows. This is great. This is a presentation versus a collection of comics. I liked it, but yeah. Comics in LA.
Didn't always work. Not everybody wants to have that vibe. Some people like that. Hey, we're all showing up, or maybe not.
This is back in my Bringer show days where you had to have five people or your stage time was cut. And one of my friends was on the way to a show I was doing in Brentwood, and she called me. She was like, hey, we're kind of lost. And I gave her directions. And she goes, okay, see you in a couple minutes. We're on San Vicente. And she never showed up. And the next day at work, I was like, what happened? She's like, we saw a Mexican restaurant. We got kind of hungry. We went to that instead.
Oh, no.
Okay, well, I lost four minutes of stage time.
Oh, no.
It's hard out here in Los Angeles. That's the message. Anyway, thank you, 8984M, for the great and thoughtful question. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more cues.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And we are back with Cues of the Other, in Other Center episode of the overall Force Center show. We had a fun but also deep question about our culture, our history. And now I think we have a question that's going to be even more difficult and complex to answer. That comes to us from Jacob. Jacob says, I've been sitting on this question for a while, but now that it's time for post-strike Other Center content, I can finally ask whatever pop culture question I want.
That's great.
The question is, what are each of your favorite Muppets?
Thank you, Jacob. He's like,
it's so difficult. I assume that none of us just has one Muppet answer, do we? Does anybody have a one Muppet answer?
Are you a one Muppet voter?
Kermit or nobody? Yeah.
I don't have a ranked list, to be clear, but I do have more than one answer. Yeah.
I have more than one answer as well. So, Ken, do you want to plop your whole Muppet list out? Do you want to share a Muppet tease? One Muppet?
What do you want to do? Maybe I'll share my main one. Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll stretch this out. And I actually, it's funny, Jen. This is great. I don't remember how many Muppet based conversations we've had with you. But Joseph and I think it's a pretty shared positive experience. The Muppet Show was huge in my life. And someone pointed out, and I think I've said this before, so I apologize to repeat myself, but someone pointed out with that podcast I was doing for a couple of years, Saturday Night Napsucks, that they're like, this is like the audio version of the Muppet Show. And I did not realize how much the Muppets really had influenced my style of comedy. And not word for word, but just the presentation of a show behind a show and reality bending and all that stuff that's so prevalent and other things. So I love it. But I say all that, I feel like I'm going to give the wrong answer. And I know some people in my life are going to jump on me if it's the wrong answer. I got to go. It sometimes I always say the answer is the answer. I'm a huge Kermit the Frog fan. Mm-hmm. It's Kermit. And I've connected with Kermit. Lost in Manhattan is one of my favorite Muppet movies. The Great Muppet Capers is fantastic. And there's something about this every frog at the center of the story. And at times it's a little, gosh, woe is me. And I connect to that and just wants to do good and just wants to experience things. And the chaos is often around him versus Kermit causing some of the chaos. And even though occasionally I can certainly be chaotic, I just kind of have that feel. I'm the quiet green center of a lot of conversations and experiences. And I just always love Kermit. There's no other way around it. I sat all day Sunday, this in the backdrop of this question was up. And I'm like, I mean, Fozzie, right? I'm a Gonzo. And we'll give some other answers. But I love Kermit, man.
Yeah. No, Kermit is the who's my favorite? It's Luke's. Skywalker, Leia, right. Anakin, Padme, like the main character. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it's so true and a very good depiction of your connection.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a Kermit like song about what it's not easy to be, what would it be? It's not easy to have a beanie. What would your soulful song be?
It's very easy to have a beanie. I was supposed to comb my hair on the tapings this week and I just didn't want to. I think it ain't easy being too self-loathing, which you should go listen to the Obsessed episode that Joseph interviewed me about self-loathing. I'd sit on I'm a bump on a log sometimes singing a song. So that's where I would.
That's great. Jennifer, what was your relationship with the Muppet Show and what's your first Muppet answer?
I love the Muppets. You put on Rainbow Connection and it's like emotional, I think, because it is so nostalgic and the way that Kermit sings it is just beautiful. I am Kermit the Frog. Kermit is me. I feel like he's just trying to get everyone on board. And it's just like you said, the chaos is around him. He's trying to wrangle cats half the time. And that face that he makes when he scrunches his little mouth, I do that. Like, I can't do it now, but like, that's just me in every situation. I just want to turn to the camera that's not there and just make that face. Like, look at these crazies around me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so Kermit, top. Tied with Kermit would be Miss Piggy. Miss Piggy is such a diva. And I remember as a kid, like, she would just do things that I was like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. And you're not supposed to be so like self-absorbed or whatever. Yeah. But I just love, like, it was fascinating of what this character that would do that and the way that she would, like, her wild hair flying around. And I could just go on and on about Miss Piggy.
Yeah, well, these are absolutely great answers. And I think it makes sense that you would have a connection with Kermit, given Kermit's role on Sesame Street is an investigative reporter.
Right.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because Frieda, Piggy and Gonzo and everybody else is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kermit's just on the job.
Yeah.
I've always been, I'm glad you brought that up, Joseph, because I've always been convinced that's where that fueled my love of like Weekend Update, Daily Show, news parody, news adjacent type of content. I loved that segment. When the music would play, I'd be like, this Sesame Street's the best today.
I'm really loving these Kermit answers. Muppet Show. I did an episode of my old podcast Obsessed with my wife when the Muppet Show became available on Disney Plus.
Right.
And we devoured several episodes and she hadn't spent as much time with it. So she was interviewing me and as it was going along, I was like, oh my Lord, half my DNA comes from this show.
Right.
My brother and I, the big thing we did with a bunch of friends I've mentioned before is a late night variety show called Look Mono Pants, which was basically Naughty Muppet Show. Yep. Definitely pull back the curtain. And I think what's so beautiful about it is just enough structure to barely keep it on the rails.
Mm-hmm.
It is so relatable to the human experience. Even as a kid, you recognize the We've made a plan. There's a list. This should be fine. Everything is falling apart. Why are there chickens here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is the experience of being a human being. And then it just has such great love of the old and the vaudeville and the presentational and the self-effacing and the snark and everything. And as other people have pointed out, I think it has this great heritage of vaudeville that a little bit of everything is nice in your entertainment, that this is a comedy show.
Yeah.
It is pitched at kids, but it is all for all ages. And there's funny, naughty adults get that. But there's also like no fear of veering from the most absurd to the borderline profane. What is Gonzo up to the absolutely heartfelt, melt your heart sincerity. And there's no shame, no challenge in doing all of it and swinging wildly from one emotion and one mode of entertainment to another.
I'd like to dig into that a little bit more. And this is certainly not the only property that's ever done that. And you're talking about the influences from vaudeville and on old. That's part of the appeal of the Muppet Show. But even my struggles in my own career have a lot to do with, you know what? This month I want to write a song. This month it's a poem. This month I want to do weird things in my bathrobe on camera and throw candy in my face. And it's all under the entertainment banner for me. And I think in this world where it's important to, this is a channel about cooking, and that channel is the algorithm because it is a channel about cooking, which I get. And I think it's important to keep to that, but I don't know how much I can say or blame that came from the Muppet Show, and I'm not blaming my struggles on it, but it's like that. Like you just said, that's part of the DNA. No, that's what the song, there was a song, there was this, there was a dance number. It was all there, and it was the Muppet Show.
Yeah, no, I totally think that. And I think I've gone on to you, Ken, about I think that's part of the success of the early MCU is that those movies were all labeled as superhero movies. But if you break down what people actually talk about, they talk about the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about the drama of the relationships. There is the thrill and the spectacle of the action that they're fulfilling a little bit of that desire, that hunger to be like, we want to experience multiple things in one story. We don't need it to just be, this is a gangster movie and therefore it's violent the whole time. And that's what it is, period.
Mm-hmm.
And I think branding does, it is necessary. It is natural up to a point, but I think we crave having multiple experiences. Other thing for me is the Muppet Show. There's the actual creation of it is this sort of virtuoso. It's amazing that they get these Muppets to do this, and there's such precision in their performance. But the whole joke is everything's always falling apart. So it's that great comedy act of absolutely perfect imperfection of performers who are brilliant at letting the audience see them bleed in exactly the right way for it to be funny.
Yeah.
Which is a big deal to me. So the first Muppet I just had to go to, I think it's because the Muppet was a symbol of a freed id being able to just do what you want, and that is Animal. So Animal always meant a lot to me because I didn't necessarily get to be wild and scream. I wanted to be wild and scream. And my dad was a drummer, and I knew that from when I was a little kid. And at one point, my dad had a stuffed animal of Animal strapped to his bass drum that somebody had given him. So that's Animal awesome. Means a lot to me. More, less in the I am like him and more in the I would like to be like him.
Yeah, there's a part of us that all wants to be like Keith Moon in Muppet form, right? And I love that. But keep it in with things, a theme we've talked about on the show before. I was terrified of Animal as a young scared kid, especially after the first Muppet
really? Movie
when he becomes terrified. I did not know what he was. Was he a monster? I used to have nightmares about weird monsters, you know, like who doesn't as a kid, but they were animal-like. And I'm past that. So I want to revisit Muppet to connect, because I think you're absolutely right. That's what he should represent. But yeah, oh man.
He's just an expression of unchained joy.
He turns into a giant. Very scary.
He does get real scary, but you know, it's scary to be alive. It's scary to say,
you're right.
I want to hit that cymbal real loud and then maybe later eat it. I don't know.
I don't
I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
All right. So we shared a little bit about big picture Muppet Show, Muppets relations, and our primary Muppets. But let's go deeper. Ken, dole out your remaining Muppets, please.
Sure. Look, without a doubt, Statler and Waldorf, you know, grumpy old men in the balcony, you know, I probably identified too much with that early on, but I think they're great. But beyond that, I always loved the Swedish Chef. It was just some out there kind of, you know, almost base level comedy that still's probably working on a higher level, but just kind of silliness that I loved. And to the point where they used to have a cereal, like a Swedish Chef cereal. and I used to, my folks used to buy that for me when I was allowed to have sugar cereal on the weekends. Love that character. And then scrolling down a list so I don't forget anything here. I loved, well, first of all, Sweetum scared me as well. So it's not just animal. Beauregard, who served a lot of roles, but he was a taxi driver in The Great Muppet Caper. And there's just something in a series that's often loud and chaotic in a wonderful way to have quiet, slower Beauregard to be like, hello. Like I've always drawn to Beauregard.
That is a great list. Is there any more?
Scroll that. I was going to mention the newsman on The Muppet Show, the generic newsman character. Again, I've always had this love the news and just the anchorman persona, especially back then. So they used to have that newsman character, and I used to like that segment a lot on Muppet Show.
Such a great straight person of just being deadly serious and then bizarre crap happening. I'm gonna share. I have three other Muppets other than Animal, and then we're gonna pitch to Jennifer for the big close. Statler and Waldorf is next on the list. They were really funny as a kid because they were the ones that fascinating. Wait a minute, when you get really old, you get to act like a kid again and just say whatever you want. Sometimes at movie theaters. But as I got older and they, you know, realized like just the absolute brilliance of them to show the Muppet Show could do the joke of we want to make the joke and we want to poke fun at ourselves for having made the joke. Just absolute brilliance. Thank you to a friend of the show, Brian Ward, a personal friend as well, for sending me Statler and Waldorf Lego. They are looking at me right now about to make a mean joke about this very podcast recording. So Statler and Waldorf are up there. This is not the Muppet Show. This is maybe controversial. I don't know about Muppet purists, but Muppet, technically, the Count on Sesame Street. I think when I really think about what's my absolute first encounter with horror, it's the Count. I'm still obsessed with Count Dracula. And he's got the vibe. He's in the fun gothic castle with the bats. Mm-hmm. He's got the laugh. He's like, who is this gentleman monster in the whole counting shtick?
Great. I think that guy, I like the little worms that Ernie would watch.
I
like the worm family.
Great. And then my final, to go from Animal, who I want to be like, to the Muppet, I think I probably am like, Scooter. I like Scooter. I was given a doll of Scooter when I was young. And then as I got older, like, oh man, I'm Scooter because Kermit is still tries to keep things on the rails, but he also does want to be a star. He also wants to be up front. Mm-hmm. Scooter is just trying to get everything done. Scooter is just trying to keep things on the rails. I feel Scooter is coded as Scandinavian. He is a hard worker, and he would never, never cancel on a show because he happened to go to the Valley that day.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's got a great look. That's a great little jacket.
And what
Jennifer, take us home with your remaining Muppet list.
I should have done more research because I'm just drawing. I'm drawing from memory. So Rizzo the Rat, Pepe the King Prawn reminds me of my uncle. I would find that as a child when I would watch The Muppet Show, I would get annoyed with characters more. I would get annoyed with Fozzie. I would get annoyed with Gonzo. But what I've discovered since then is because I had a really hard time getting my daughters into it. They loved Sesame Street, but they love Muppet Babies, both the old one and the new one.
I love Muppet.
And I think the reason why is because like the whole gang works together and their quirks can kind of, there's benefits to their quirks and they're also valued in some way. Whereas like in the Muppet Show and the movies, it's like, oh, those quirks lead to just so much mayhem and things falling apart. I can see why poor Kermie is upset, right?
Yeah.
But so the Muppet Babies, both shows, it shows them working together, which I appreciate.
Is it
a beautiful answer?
Is it, sorry, yeah, stepped on you. Is it because Muppet Babies says Skeeter? Scooter's twin sister.
Yes, Scooter and Skeeter. Yes, exactly. And then the new one, there's a penguin. I can't remember her name, but she's really cute. Mm. I like her too.
Well, I think I have my lunch plans to track down the new Muppet shows and check out the penguin.
There you go.
Any final Muppet thoughts before we wrap up?
This could lead to Muppet Center easily, and it's been a lot of fun. And I've been wanting to revisit the shows. Well, I started watching a little bit. I think even I have season one on Blu-ray, but I think it's time for me to do that.
Yeah, there, for a little while, my wife and I were watching films, and we would pick out a film that had an actor who had appeared on The Muppet Show, and we would watch The Muppet Show with that actor as the sort of intro to the film, which was a really fun way to gobble them up. But watching more Muppets soon. Thank you very much, Jacob, for the fun question. This is really great to be able to talk other pop culture here on Other Center. But that is it. Ken, do you want to let people know where they can find us?
I absolutely will. Send your favorite Muppet answer to us on Twitter or Threads at Force Center Pod. We're on Facebook as well at Force Center Podcast. You can also find our Instagram page. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube. Podcast is available in a lot of different spots. Just search, you'll find us. And thanks to all our listeners in other parts of the world who couldn't actually get our episodes. As the time of this recording, it looks like that's been fixed. Thanks for your patience on that. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter and patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support us directly and ask us questions like this. Follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. For the holiday seasons, I'll be selling personalized copies of my book, Why We Love Star Wars, on the website. And also, if you're in LA for LA Comic Con on Sunday, December 3rd at 3 p.m., we'll be hosting a Star Wars theme panel. Some of the behind the scenes folks from shows like Ahsoka, Book of Boba Fett, and the Mando show, you know, the Mandalorian, the Muppet Baby Mando show. For me, Jen, where can they find and follow you and all you're doing?
You can find me on Twitter. Twitter, what am I saying? Sometimes on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube at Jennifer Landa, and TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
Love it. Joseph, take us home. Thank you for leading us through this wonderful discussion today.
Oh, happy. These are great discussions. Great, great Muppet in ancestry questions. You know, two normal topics that go together beautifully. Thank you all for listening. If you want to find out what I'm up to, you can find me on most of the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw. I'm spending a lot of time on Blue Sky. So if you get an invite code, I'm having a lot of fun over there. I invite you to come check it out and find me on Blue Sky. Also on Instagram. You can also go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for info on all the different stuff I'm up to. In particular, this weekend, the short horror film that I worked on this year, The Nightmare Adorable, is playing two different places. It is playing live and in person at the Sin City Horror Fest in Las Vegas. That showing is on Saturday, December 2nd at 4 p.m. with a Q&A. I will be there for the Q and for the A. There's a link on my website to how to get tickets to that event. My website is josephscrimshaw.com. Or you can go to the website, hplovecraftfilmfestival.com, and you can read about the HP Lovecraft Film Festival that is happening entirely online. You can stream a bunch of horror films, including The Nightmare Adorable, if you are interested. Thank you to the end crew, who has let us know that they stick around all the way till the end, which we have reached. The cues have been aid.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.